Welcome to the Sedona Soul Sister Show, down-to-earth discussions on metaphysics, spirituality, paranormal, and healing. The Sedona Soul Sisters are the most trusted psychic mediums in Sedona. They have offices in Sedona where they see clients from all over the world. And now, today's show with Roz, Ivory, Terri-Ann, and Melissa. Today's topic is paranormal activity. If you're with us live on the show now and you want to ask a question, you can raise your hand and ask it and we'll answer it live on the show. If you're shy, put it in the chat room and we'll still answer it. For those of you watching later on our YouTube channel or listening on the podcast platforms, you can email us your questions at any time. We're happy to answer them, no matter even if the show was last year. It's fine. And the email address is in the show description. So paranormal activity, we were just saying, the four of us could talk about that for days on end. It's like a daily occurrence for us. Paranormal activity just means things that are happening that there's not an explanation for most people. You know, once you delve into it and you get to know more about it, there is some explanations for it. But who would like to talk about some thoughts on what encompasses paranormal activity?
Well, I mean, it's not probably a great definition, but to me, what it is anything that falls outside the realm of what would be considered quote unquote normal, which is so ironic because it's very true that I feel like our experiences in our lives have a lot of this activity, but I find my clients have a lot of this activity too, that they just sort of say, oh, it's probably a coincidence. I think it's a coincidence. I'm going, there are no coincidences. Not really.
I think most people, when they hear the term paranormal activity, because of the movies by that name, they think it's all ghosts. It's all spirit or poltergeist activity. That's one aspect of it. But anything that is outside of the norm, anything that's unusual that most people probably would be freaked out about if they first experienced it, that falls under paranormal. So Melissa, I see you nodding your head over there. Did you want to add something to that, or are you just agreeing?
Well, to me, in my many years of having paranormal calls, which are way up in the last 5 years, I believe it's happening, you know, like the dimensions are coming together and the veil is very thin. So there's a lot of unusual, unseen, strange things going on. But to me, in my perspective, at least, is that we're here to kind of clean up some of that stuff that's sort of bouncing around like pinballs around us, and just kind of, maybe we won't ever understand all of it, but there are many levels and layers. And like you said, Ivory, it's not always just a ghost. It's many things. It's energies of many different kinds that we're kind of here to clear up and balance out and come into wholeness around.
Absolutely. I was going to tell you, I don't know if it's because we had this topic planned for today, but I didn't get much sleep last night because every time I started to drift off, there was some weird paranormal thing going on. There were these three knocks on the wall by the headboard of my bed, which is an outside wall, but it sounded like it was on the inside, just boom, 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 like that. I see we have a comment. I can read that one. Keegan joining us here says, me either and me too. Same things here, knocking. And I've been having a whole lot of poking. Last night was a big poking night where something's like either pressing on my shoulders, I'm trying to sleep, or poking into my back. I mean, all of these things. But I agree with you, Melissa. Like, as the years go by here, this year in particular, paranormal activity has gone way up. Unfortunately, it seems like the majority of it that people are calling about, and probably because they're feeling desperate, is the scary paranormal activity, where they're frightened to be in their home. They don't feel safe, or the children are afraid, or they're seeing dark shadows and things that, you know, at a gut level, you're just not comfortable with. But that's just one aspect of this. It goes a lot broader than that. So would you say, because I was thinking about this yesterday in regards to today's show, would you say that interdimensional beings are paranormal activity?
I would, absolutely.
Yeah.
I do too.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, that interdimensional energy is always very present. And the same thing when you were talking about last night, and I could hear things, see things, feel things. And it was so intensified last night, I felt like. And even today, I was telling you earlier, I'm really like off kilter and out of my body. And so, you know, all of that, I think all of that's paranormal. I mean, if it's not physical, it falls into this paranormal realm. And, you know, whether you see, feel, or hear it, however you experience it, it could be different for everybody. But that darker energy you were talking about, it's scarier, ghosts, because the movies have portrayed it to be such a horrific experience, you know, The Exorcist, all these things that we've been exposed to over the years. And yes, there are things that do happen like that. But most often, in my experience of what I've experienced, is lost souls, people looking to go to the light. They may not have known they passed, you know, so things like that, that are very, and once you understand that, you can sort of help and guide them that way.
I agree. Like in this house I'm in, which I love, and it feels really good to be here. It truly is a sanctuary. But in my bedroom, shortly after I moved in, a few times at night, I looked up, I felt a presence, and I looked up, and there was a small elderly woman with glowing light around her up in the corner, left corner of my bedroom, up near the ceiling. And she felt very fine. She felt fine. I wasn't scared, but she was kind of just hanging out up there. And I just thought, okay, well, she probably lived in this house. I knew it was a couple in their 90s who lived here last. So I found out from my neighbor, who's a client, tells me that this woman passed away in that bedroom. And she said after she passed away, after the house had been empty for quite some time, she saw the lights on in the kitchen. She can see it through the dining room window. And she saw that woman walking around in the kitchen, preparing food, standing at the counter. And she said she knew it was her because she was really tiny. And it was before I bought this house. So she's appeared here quite a few times, and it's not scary at all. It's just, you know, that's what I tell most people. It's just a presence. Tune into how you feel about it. If you're scared just because it's something unusual, well, you can calm yourself down. But if you feel that in your solar plexus, if your gut is telling you it's something dark, well, that's another story. You know, that's when you need to start clearing or get help with clearing. But what else falls under this category?
Well, I think one thing you're mentioning that people don't really think about, I have over the years had a lot of different clients who moved into houses. Some were not old houses. Some were houses that had been built within the previous decade. But definitely the older houses where people lived for 100 years, there is a tremendous amount of what I call, you know, sort of retained spirit energy in those buildings. And I used to encounter a lot of clients who would come in and say, or contact me before the internet, you know, everybody called, and they would fax me a picture of their house, and I could look at the house and I could see these entities and beings in and around the house. So a lot of that not only had to do with the house itself, but the land. So when you have a very neutral piece of land where, you know, someone can kind of create a portal entrance, they like to come to visit. Sometimes just being able to overcome fear if there are events going on. One thing I really used to encounter a lot and still do is doors opening and shutting, lights going off and on, you know, you just can sort of nicely say to a lot of these spirits, you don't live here anymore. I live here now. Some people are comfortable with sharing the space, but most people would prefer they left. So I think we have to get kind of comfortable with the idea that it's more than just the building. And it's also not something necessarily that should bring you discomfort.
Think about the building that used to be called Relics, and I think now it's Sedona Crepes. And that's where we had our first talk show, and it was live. It was an audience, and we would tape it. And we did that in what they call their ballroom, which is a meeting room, and it has a stage. And there was all kinds of things going on in there. Roz, yeah. Talk about what happened to you, because that's so funny.
The first time I ever went to lunch there, which was probably in 2004 or 5, we walked in. We sat down, and immediately I felt someone's hand up on my shoulder patting me. And I'm looking around like, okay, someone's visiting. The minute we went in to do our show, the same spirit still in the building. And that building has been nationally recognized. It's being haunted. It's been on television. It's, you know, it's a very known location. And so funny, because I found the spirits there to be very friendly.
Yeah.
Patting me on the leg, you know, giving me a little pat. One of them messed with my hair when we were in there doing our show. So I think that's not how the building was portrayed on television, by the way.
No.
So a lot of this, again, this is another aspect. A lot of this is the interpretation of the person who's involved.
And that building had been a stage stop, a bordello. I mean,
it is
one of the original buildings in Sedona, tons of history. So the first time we went in to do our show, I looked over to, do you remember where that gate, there was like a stairway that had an iron gate in front of it. And I looked over there and the gate was gone. And there were two women in like an 1800 bordello type outfits, just sort of posed in the doorway there. And there was a man talking to them. It was a cowboy, and they were there, you know, for like 10, 15 seconds. And then the scene went back to an empty stairwell with an iron grate. And then I would dream about those people. Like I would, they kept coming into my dreams after I saw them there. But I had a lot of the same thing, like the touching, but didn't some one of them blow in your ear or something like that too? When you were like looking through the camera, I think.
Yes. Like right here. It's really interesting. I seem to have a kind of a, I don't know, friendly, I guess, energy for a lot of the spirits, because I've experienced that a lot in my life. And as long as there's not any negative intent or negative intention or energies being directed, I'm usually pretty neutral. So I guess they like that. And that's a really interesting building for any who ever come to Sedona. Take the opportunity to go and have a meal there.
And there's one similar to that in Prescott that if people are listening, I know one person joining us now lives there. So in Prescott, there's St. Michael's Cafe. And I used to spend a lot of time there because somebody I knew was working there. And one night they were working very late at night, and there's a hallway of glass into this interior hall where other businesses are. And they saw a man walk past there, even though that had been closed and locked up for 2 hours. And then they came back past again, and they were wearing old fashioned clothing, and they stopped and like looked through the glass at the staff, two staff members standing in there, and then disappeared right in front of them. And two times I was in the restroom there, and a spirit took a roll of toilet paper. It was like, it was sitting on top of something, and I watched it tap it, and it spun in circles and fell down on the floor, and no one else was in there. So, you know, there's just, there's a lot of things. When I was 18, I took ballet classes in the ballroom there, and nobody wanted to go into the restroom there because people were getting, there was something that would do like this on your face or touch on your head, and it was freaking them out. I really didn't care because by then I, you know, had 18 years of this stuff. So, but it's had a reputation for a long time and a lot of sightings of spirits in the rooms and the hotel part of it. So that's another one with rich history in this area.
I think that's why we're very fortunate, because we're mediums and we're in an area where spirituality is very open and there's so much history. Like where I am now in Gloucester, there's so much history, but there isn't that spirituality community that we have in Sedona or, you know, the Jerome area. So all of that, I think it would be so great if there was more of that countrywide, so that people could really understand that there is like so much history behind it. Like you said, they were playful. It was fun. You know, they're posing for you. So, you know, without that negative connotation that the media attaches to it, I think it just would be so wonderful.
It would be. And plus, people tend to be more afraid when they don't know what's going on or they don't have anybody to talk to process things with. It tends to make you have feel more fear. Whereas if like you could come out and talk to a group, they'd be like, oh, you don't need to worry about that. You know, if it didn't do anything to hurt you, or it's not like messing up things in your house, like hiding important things like your car keys and you can't get to work, things like that. It's just a presence. It's just a lingering presence of a person, and it's okay. I know another place that I've seen so much paranormal activity and experienced it is in Jerome, Arizona. And that is it was the hospital for this Jerome, which is a 1800s mining community. And now it's a hotel. It's been a hotel for quite a while. So it's kind of flip-flop. The first owner was very interested in the spirit activity. They had movies made about all the activities and sightings you could buy in the lobby. Now the new owner doesn't want to talk about that apparently, but I'll say my daughter loved going there for her birthday. So a group of us, like her and her best friend and me and my best friend, we would rent a room there and stay there and eat in the restaurant and have fun in Jerome. One night on my daughter's 10th birthday, everybody was sound asleep, including me. And in the middle of the night, I just woke up. And at the base of the bed, there was a man standing there wearing a surgeon's gown, and he had his mask down around his neck. And he had a dark mustache, dark hair. He was very handsome. And he was just staring at me. He stayed there like 35, 40 minutes, just looking at me. And he wasn't moving. He was just looking down at me. And I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. And the next day, my daughter's telling the owner, my mom saw blah, blah, blah. And he was so excited. He's like, show me where you saw it. Tell me exactly. And he had me identify who it was from these pictures of the surgeons. And it turned out that that was the recovery room for the hospital. And some other people ended up seeing that same spirit in that general area as well. So it's kind of fun. You know, if you want to see these things, if you want to experience these things, there's places to go to do that. Oh, there is something.
Yeah, there's a comment.
Can you read it, Terri Ann? These contacts are terrible.
Yeah, it says, wow, the energy is from Keegan. Yes, Terri, so much energy and no one to experience it. I literally had an experience today. I was eating at a restaurant, and I tell you, this place held heavy, but in a good way. And I felt this energy to hug my mom. Aww. So, yeah, so that's amazing, isn't it?
It is. And I do think spirits can impart emotion to you for sure. It reminds me, I was at the Titanic exhibit when it was at the Luxor in Vegas. And I wasn't expecting anything. I was just walking through this exhibit. And I got to this place where there was a plaque. And it was a quote from a woman whose husband was on the Titanic as a crew member, and he had died. And I'm reading it just to myself in my head. And all of a sudden, tears are welling up and I'm choking back sobs. And I'm like, what is this? And I'm so embarrassed. I turned away because I didn't want people to my right to see me. And I saw this man wearing a pea coat and a dark sailor's hat. He had kind of straw blonde hair. and he was young, and he was tall, and he was in the corner, and I was trying to hide my face from him, and I put my head down, and then I looked up, and he was gone. Well, it turns out that the person who was with me saw that person too, and he was pointing out that that person couldn't have been standing on the floor, or they would have been about 11 feet tall. We would have noticed an 11-foot tall person. So that spirit was the person who passed away on the Titanic, and they were floating high enough where we could see them above the glass cases that were in that room. And again, you know, we mentioned something to the person running the exhibit, and they're like, taking us back through, tell me exactly what you saw. It's the first sighting we've had here since this happened. And that spirit came to me multiple times over a period of years. It was the same exact guy. And this, I would still feel like completely devastated, sobbing, grieving. So I don't know if I was just picking up on his wife or what that was, but I remember how powerful that moment was.
You want me to read it?
Yes, please.
Okay. She says, so I got up and I went to the owner, and here she was. She lost her son. We had a beautiful conversation and hugged in the end. Wow, what a heart connection. We both got teary-eyed and kept the treasure we just created. I love that. That's beautiful. It really is. You know, those connections that we make are so powerful, and we don't always understand why we're making them. And they could be for 5 minutes, but we come together. And that's one of the messages that Anthony always says in his book, is that we are all connected. I think that's beautiful.
I do too. And it's interesting when you were first talking about that experience that, and you felt like you need compelled to hug your mom. And I felt like there's a spirit who's saying, don't miss any opportunity you can to show your mom love while she's still here with you. You know, so that's confirmation there. So absolutely.
Christina has her hand up. I don't know if she has a question.
Do you, Christina? I'm going to unmute you.
I actually had a positive experience that I'd like to share if you're open.
Yeah.
So it's actually my family. When I would go to Reed's, I would fill my car load up with my grandma and my uncle and my grandpa and so on and so forth. And I used to jokingly call them my entourage. And one day at home, I kept seeing like shadow figures off in the corner of my eye. And I was just like, am I getting shadow people? Oh no, this is not good. And I asked my friend about it that was doing the Reed's on me. And she laughed. She goes, no, that's your family. They're dressing the part in black.
Aww.
It was just, that's our family sense of humor. And I just thought that was just really funny, because that's just how they work.
My family too.
They don't lose their personality on the other side, do they?
That's for sure.
Sometimes it's toned down though, we'll say that. So what about some of the annoying paranormal activity? I cannot be the only one who's experienced that. I refuse to, at least of the four of us here.
Yeah, I was just saying last night, I've told you girls this story, but one of the first experiences when I became a professional, I was working uptown in the boutique, and there was a man that would hang out, and he had a long trench coat and a hat. And I wasn't really, I hadn't learned really about protection. So I brought this spirit home with me, and he was a trickster. He liked to play jokes, and Roz is going to laugh because I brought him home, and I was so tired, because when they attach to you, sometimes you get really tired. And that night, Tim was tossing and turning, and I could see this spirit over him, but I was so tired, I couldn't clear it. I went back to sleep. In the morning, he says to me, oh my God, somebody was messing with me all night and touching me and poking me and prodding me. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. But yeah. I brought him home with me, and he was annoying him. I was like, well, you know, he that's just the personality that he had. He was like a trickster and a jokester and liked to mess with you. So after that, I learned more about protection and how to avoid that situation.
And that's a really good story. Because we think about all the places we go, all the things that are going on. If you don't have kind of that bubble around you, I mean, many of these spirits are pranksters. They are interested in attaching to your energy and taking that energy, you know, you're being drained. So you're having extreme fatigue. They're feeling great because they're bringing in all that energy. So it's something really to think about. I have a number of people that I work with that encountered this where they just innocently were in the location where there was a spirit there, or they had many, many years of behaviors where they were going into a lot of different places. And I personally very rarely go into bars for that reason, because when I was young, I would see these spirits hanging around in there, and, you know, they were looking for a free energy ride. And because it seems like a lot of locations where people are partying and having a good time are old buildings. And it's really something to kind of think about, keeping that energy around you that repels their desire to attach.
I know the first time my paranormal investigation team did an investigation in Jerome, Arizona, we had a great time. We had a lot of experiences. And right after that, when I was living down in the Phoenix area at that time, right after that, the spirit was in our home. And it was doing things like every time I'd sit down on the edge of the bed to put my shoes on, it'd turn the lights out. And that bedroom was painted dark brown. It was a rental house, so it was like a cave in there. Turn off the lights and you're just, where's my shoes, you know? So I thought that was funny. And we were getting ready to do an investigation in Crown King, and the car keys were missing, and so was the recorder. We needed the recorder for EVPs. So we're looking, we're tearing the house apart. We had to meet this crew. We had to be up on top of this mountain at a certain time. Couldn't find it anywhere. And I finally said, listen, whoever took those keys, you bring them back right now. We've got to go. This isn't funny. And the person I shared the house with went to put their boot on, and the stuff was down in their boot. And they hadn't worn that boot in 2 years. And we just had the stuff for investigation the week before. So there's no explanation for those things ending up in the toe of that boot. They just thought that was funny. You know, they wanted attention. They wanted to cause some trouble. And that was real annoying. In that same house, three times I walked from the bedroom to the kitchen, and I thought I saw my housemate. I did see them sitting in a chair, typing, working on the computer. And I turned around and they're gone. And I look in the bedroom and they're sound asleep, and they had never gotten up. That wasn't them. I just assumed it was because I walked by quickly and got a glance. And even the day that we left, I went out the front door, the last load of stuff I was taking. I turned around and looked, and I saw a strange man standing in our living room straight through from the front door, just watching. And they did not come to another house. That's the interesting thing. But that spirit was doing a lot of things. Like, they didn't like my housemate, and they didn't like us being in a relationship together. And they would do things like, we had the camera crew over. We were in the bedroom doing filming and recording. And I had just said something like, oh, does anybody hear that singing? Nobody else heard it, but it picked up on the recording. And then the cameraman likes to provoke spirit, which I'm not okay with. And he said, what do you think of Ivory with this person? And right away he fell to the floor. And I'm like, what happened? He goes, I felt like something punched me in the stomach, and I just almost passed out. Like, I think that spirit just gave them a big energetic whop that, you know, they didn't like that. And you know, you provoke a spirit at your own risk. So that had to go. Like, that had to go. That was really disruptive. And I just didn't like having that spirit in the house at all. I've got some good EVPs of it, though. It's crystal clear, like us talking right now.
Yeah. Christina has a comment. Let me see.
Oh, thank you.
Where'd it go? She says, Trickster, my past roommate had a pink shirt disappear from her closet one day. We've dug through everything in the house, the closet, the dresser, the laundry room, and her room, and the shirt was gone. Then one day, about a week later, she came home and called me into her room, and that pink shirt was laid out flat in the middle of her bedroom floor, and there's no way that we could have missed it.
Absolutely. It's that, to me, that's kind of annoying stuff that drives me nuts, like taking things and bringing it back or putting it in weird places or taking it and you never find it again. I've had that too, where stuff just completely goes missing. I don't like that.
Laugh about things would do when I was younger. I would call that dematerialization. Like they dematerialize something that I really needed, like you're mentioning keys. I used to have all kinds of things go on with my keys, and hardly anything irritated me more. And I could actually hear them laugh. And I just would you please give them back? You know, just give them back. I know you've had that happen, Melissa.
Actually, something happened yesterday, but I do want to mention, to me, in my experience, sometimes it could be the elemental kingdom or the, like we were talking about, the interdimensional connections, different types of beings, fairies, elves, extraterrestrials that are kind of, you know, just around to mess with us. And yesterday I was in Reno, Nevada, and just exhausted, and because I was on vacation in Tahoe, and we went into Reno and stayed the night at the casino, which is, like Ross said earlier, we're not really into bars and lots of, you know, heavy energy places anyway. And I'm not really into casinos. Not that I don't love it for other people. It's just for me, it's a little agitating. And the first thing that happened, get this, something pushed me off the bus. Boom.
Oh, and my God.
Down. And I could feel it and laughter and all this stuff, even though the human beings around were not laughing and they were very nice. And I just thought, I was just all kinds of like, just pissed off in my head. I'm like, I'm mad. What? And so that being followed me around, you know, throughout the evening and stuff like that. And kept turning on and off the lamp, the bedside lamp. And I was like, back up, back off. So I think it was especially because I was tired, a little bit too open in the very busy, chaotic place, that it just sort of was like, hey, let me see if I can mess with you or, you know, move your things. And I've also had it sounds so creepy, but it's happened more than once where because I'm very visual, you know, see a person that's passed and like they're across the street and they can recognize our energy signatures, right? Especially if we're empathic or psychic or mediums. And I've yelled at God about this. I'm like, what? Do I have a sign over my head? What's going on here? And I've had, you know, been driving. And then all of a sudden they're boom, right? Their heads are in my car. And I'm like, no, thank you. And so experiences like that, because they recognize our energy signatures and things like that. And Ivory, get this. I was on a romantic vacation getaway a few months ago in Jerome, and I also saw someone with the surgeon's mask, and I was up at the Grand Hotel, the one that you were just describing and things like that. And when I lived there, there was a, oh man, all the multi dimensions like come together there, and so it's like a free-for-all going on all the time. And so there used to be a miner, and the person that lived in my house before me used to daily check in on me and kind of just rib me, like follow me to the restroom, try to watch me when I was taking a shower. And every day I had to go, look, back up. You know, this is, you know, a little bit ridiculous. And they would move things and kind of mess with me, throw things on the ground. And so that, and in my other house, when I lived in Oklahoma, I lived in a high rise. It's kind of well known for being not only on the edge of the end of the Trail of Tears, like Rosalind was saying, there's possibly energetic history imprints in the energy, but it's also known for some kind of dark things. And someone called me about it that works there the other day and asked me, like, and they were just kind of ribbing me, like trying to get information out of me. I loved that place. I would have stayed forever if there had not been human beings that were icky. But that place is really well known for kind of being a big portal and energy. And it's right on the edge where the different tribes that were misplaced throughout the years on at the end of the Trail of Tears, which is right where I grew up. And so that there were, you know, like new energies and old energies that would be sort of very busy in the building and the areas as well. Just unbelievable open veil these days where it's in front of us. But in that house, I always had a man that came to visit and I really liked him. Gentle and kind. And I would see him out of the corner of my eye and go, hey. And I would make up a name for him, like, hey, Fred, what's up? And he would move books and things whenever, like a spiritual book, like, you need to read this. And here's your $50 that you lost that you was in the washing machine or whatever it is. And he'd pull it out and I would see him. And so there are good things, but it's very confusing to live amongst all of that goings-ons all the time.
And it doesn't always come through as seeing a spirit either. Like I'm thinking back to living in Frederick, Maryland. I lived in a subdivision called Oak Acres and it was on a mountain. And I had a room on the opposite side of the house from the other bedrooms. And I didn't like that. First of all, it didn't feel very safe to me, but there was this stuffed chair in my bedroom. And every night there was these lights that would come up from behind it and they were triangular shaped and they would shine up on my ceiling and they'd be different colors. Each one, it would have a solid beam of triangular light up to a pretty large triangle on the ceiling. And finally, one night I thought, I'm going to find out what this is, because I went and looked behind the chair. I couldn't see any source for it. I went downstairs, which was our family room and a bar and a study and a guest room. And it was in the guest room, would have been right over my bedroom. So I went down there. It's pitch black dark down there. There is nothing. There's no source of light that there's, you know, I couldn't figure out how that would be coming through the ceiling. But that house had so much activity with Native Americans walking through there. I'd see them in the afternoons when I was home alone, and just all kinds of, you know, activity with lights, though, especially like lights shining in the window. UFO activity was extremely high there. Missing time, like going out into the woods for a walk and then coming back and it's 4 hours later and you have no idea what happened, things like that. So, but I remember those lights. And later, when I lived in Prescott and I lived out in the clubhouse area, which is out, can't even think of the name of the road right now, Montezuma. That house, there's something about the land of that house, or maybe it was me. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure about it. I was so new into these things then. But one night I heard a popping sound like this, like someone just pop. And I opened my eyes and this oblong object about 3 feet long, a foot high, floated from the wall outside into my bedroom and just hovered in front of me. And it had kind of this opalescent look to it. And it was moving slightly and it had a black kind of nucleus in the center. And it just stayed there. And it freaked me out because I had no idea what this was. This happened night after night after night. I was afraid to go to sleep. Then these other things started coming in that looked, you know what jacks are? Do you remember jacks? Like you play with a ball and jacks look mm-hmm. like giant jacks made of black velvet and they could move. And those started coming in and I'd see them in the air. And one night I opened my eyes and one of them was on the next to me on my pillow. And it took one of those black velvet things and just stroked my cheek. I still feel like it felt so soft, but it freaked me out. And I was able to unfreeze and get under the covers. Go away, just go away. Then it was the balls of bright green light bouncing around in my living room for hours on end. It looked like there were 1,000, but it could have been 3. They were bouncing so fast. So sometimes it's these interdimensional beings, astral beings come in as light. And what's scary about it is you can't, your mind won't process that. It's nothing humanoid. So you don't know how to process that. What is it? You know, it's so foreign looking that's what's scary, is that you have nothing to connect that to. I don't think they had anything bad. I think they were waking me up. That was my spiritual awakening and amazing things happened from there. I know they were giving me information, waking me up, but then I was terrified.
I've experienced that as well, you know, throughout the years, always being kind of a galactic starseed child all the way through, you know, now I'm 50. So all the way through having very peculiar experiences like that. So and you can never quite fully understand it all. And like Ivory was saying, sometimes they'll come visit you in different ways. And it's so hard for our human minds to comprehend, all of us. It's so hard. And so, you know, in the past, there have been some icky dark ones, but one of my favorite ones, there are divine light beings, and they won't disrespect you or be in your, like, harm you or be in your space too close where it's disconcerting. But they are there helping to help. And one of my favorite stories that I don't get to tell very often is one of my clients who just, I'd known her for years, but she never really showed too much emotion. So I didn't know, I didn't know what she got or not from her when she made an appointment. She just didn't make much, didn't tell me much, and no facial expressions at all. And one time she came in and she said, she was very connected, but she said, okay. So she had been doing manual labor for a very long time, many years, and had injuries from the past, and she had pain every day. And the intergalactic beings came to her in the night and healed her, fully healed her. And she said, I feel great. I think at the time she was right around 50 years old. And she just said, I am released from back pain and I feel more clear and focused. So there are, you know, experiences like that where there are divine, the light is watching out for us. And they're just not as, you know, trickstery or pushy or kind of silly as some of the others, which is probably why we notice the other ones a little bit more. But if you ask, the divine ones will come as well and kind of help keep us protected and keep us comfy and safe. We just need to remember to ask, which is, you know, I have to go back to that over and over and over in my life.
Darianne, can you read that comment in the chat room, please?
Sure. Let's see, where are we? Okay, so Keegan says, I have always seen these piercing whitish blue orbs. They're very calming and loving. I always feel at peace, like everything will be okay. They guide me in my travels and my dreams, especially when the dream has a dark tone to it. It's amazing. It really is. You know, those orbs, and like Melissa was saying, with the light when it comes in, and even when we're like in that dream state and we're so receptive to everything, and we are always protected and guided. That's Roz's favorite saying that she's instilled in my brain, is that we're always guided and protected. And so I say that over and over if I'm having a bad dream or a bad day, whatever it is, we're always guided and protected. Everything's working out for our highest and best.
Absolutely.
Thumbs up on that one. And I was going to say about that, seeing the orbs, like that kind of reminds me, some of the things that come in can be, it's hard to tell whether it's another, like an alien species, or is it an interdimensional being? The one that I'm thinking of most was when the blue orb people were coming through to me, and it was like about a 6-foot royal blue crystalline orb that had this, like a, almost like a beautiful, colorful electricity in the center of it. And it would be right over my bed and it would stay there for quite a while. I didn't know what it was, but Roz's partner, Ed, is the one who's like, oh, that's the blue sphere people. And I looked it up and yep, what people were describing was it. So to me anymore, I think it doesn't matter so much to me if it's another species or is it an interdimensional being, as long as the frequency of it is high and it feels like their intentions are good, I'm going to go with it. You know, I don't mind beings like that coming through. Sometimes they feel as high frequency as angels do.
Mm-hmm.
The archangels come through that way for me too. I visually see really tall, different tones and colors of light. And in my past, just when I've been having a really hard time, they'll show up physically, visually, and it's so loving and so protective that helps, you know, kind of can help us or me get back into myself and focus. If I've been pushed out or if I, you know, fallen over a little bit in my path, the archangels come that way as well. And lots of different kinds of celestial beings that maybe we just aren't, our minds don't know what they really look like. They're energetic and peculiar, possibly visually, but so divine.
And I think UFOs fall under this category too, because that's something that most people see it. They kind of understand what they're seeing, but it completely freaks them out because it's so out of the norm for them. And that's something I've been seeing since I was very small and had a lot of experience with, but it's not always a good thing. You know, people have had some frightening experience, but most of the time I think it's just seeing them or interact. Sometimes people interact with the beings on them. I think I mentioned, like, this was one of the weirdest moments of my life. And that's saying something for a psychic medium. Mm-hmm. I was at the Southern California Writers Conference meeting, which I was a member of. And there was a lady in there, Kathy, who writes science fiction novels, really good novels. And she and I had stroken up a friendship, and she was up speaking on the podium, and she was talking about her book series. And as she did that, I had this flashback, very vivid, like I was in that moment experiencing it, where I'm laying on this table on an alien spacecraft, and she's on the table next to me. And we turned and looked at each other and locked eyes. And I came out of that vision and I was shaking. It really shook me up. Like I'd never seen anything like that in a waking state. And I looked up at her and she looked so freaked out. And after she was done speaking, she had the exact same flashback memory at the exact same moment I did. I have never had that before. I haven't had it since either. But so we just, sometimes you don't know, you know, exactly what's happened, but when you're meant to remember something, you will. But I think we should talk about a little bit about, I know we kind of covered it recently in an episode, but if somebody didn't hear that one, what about the paranormal activity that is dark?
I think there's a lot of that right now, right?
Yes. I think that's really relevant right now. Because a lot of people are experiencing these types of events and they've never experienced them before. And, you know, again, these are dimensional frequencies that we are either becoming present in, or we are also being, in my case, kind of being shown this in order to be able to assist other people. And I spent a fair amount of time when I was younger. Actually, I did that kind of work before I had children, because once I started having my children, I separated myself from that work for quite a few years until my children are now grown. So I've actually gone back into dealing with some of these very low frequency dark energy presences and things that are happening to people. And we're in a very amazing time right now of the veils being so thin that people are encountering this. They're not necessarily encountering it because of anything they've done. They just innocently happen to be in the wrong place, literally at the wrong time, or be in an environment where they're being exposed to that. So I think realizing that this potential is out there, and again, you know, you have to have that protection around you to really feel safe in those situations.
Is there a new comment, Terri-Ann?
Yes. Keegan said, I have experienced pushes and shoves and manipulation of thought.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, what I was going to say was, you know, a lot of times if you're not aware of all this and you think it's your own thoughts. I mean, I've had so many clients come in and they're like, this isn't my personality. I'm not like this. I was never, you know, depressed or suicidal, and now I am. And so recognizing that may be somebody else, and not yourself is key sometimes.
I was going to talk about my daughter and something. There's kind of an update on that situation. She moved out of a house last year that had a demonic presence attached to the land. And we knew that there'd been a young male who had committed suicide there before they moved in. It wasn't very long. The first time I went to visit, something pushed me down the stairs and I got hurt. I had back problems and neck problems already, so it really messed me up worse. But I felt a hand push in the center of my back. It happened two more times. Her husband saw their youngest child get pushed up the stairs. And then the whole time, you know, we're doing clearings there. There's a shaman coming in doing clearings. We've got Oregon in place inside, outside, buried on the property. And they're on high alert, but she got up one morning, or I'm sorry, late at night, and she was headed down the stairs and something pushed her and it fractured. It just broke her upper arm. She's got plates and screws in her shoulder and arm, and it'll never be the same. And she broke her ankle. She had a concussion. She's lucky she didn't break her neck. So they moved out of there. So there was no more incidents, but last weekend, she was in Colorado for her uncle's winery grand opening. And on the day of the opening, something pushed her down the stairs of the house that her family lives in there. And she said she didn't like that house. She's really starting to tune into when she walks into a building and she can feel there's something dark there. And she just didn't like it. And she felt something malevolent. around her right before this. And then she felt, you know, she was pushed down the stairs. Next thing she knows, she's at the bottom of the stairs. So, you know, I think that, you know, once you're aware of these things, you kind of go on high alert. And I think that's good. It's a wake up call. And I think if you're a target of something like that, that it means something for you too, that you're supposed to be awakened to that presence, to be very aware that the dark is real, and that you need to protect yourself. You need to be careful.
And I think it's also important to realize that we do have some power in these situations. And since I used to do a lot of that kind of work with buildings, with situations, I would always express before I entered that location, my sovereignty, my power, and my protection from my angels and guides. And I talk to Jesus all the time because I've been able to see him since I was little. So asking to be guided and protection around me, and to realize that these are entities very frequently. These are not spirits. These are from a very low frequency. And to express to them very clearly, you are not allowed. You're not allowed to interact with me in any way, shape, or form unless I allow it. You do not touch me. You do not approach me. And for those of you out there who can hear this communication, I mean, we don't need the EVP recorders necessarily to hear. And I have walked into many houses where I expressed that and then walked in the door and they immediately said, get out. And I said, I don't have to, you do. So you got to have that power. You got to bring it out and ask for the sword of light and, you know, do that work, because people are struggling when they're having to live in these houses or even own the houses. I did a fair amount of work with people who owned a house, and it was supposed to be a rental property, like what your daughter experienced. And, you know, they couldn't even rent the property because of these dark energies. So good to know and realize.
And it's interesting that somebody else might move into that house and experience nothing, or they could live there at the same time and experience nothing. Exactly. So that's why I'm pretty sure that if you experience something like that, that you're supposed to be awakened to the presence of the dark, and it's going to come into play in some way in your work or your life, or how you live, how you move forward into your path. there's got to be a reason for it, or everybody would experience it.
And I think also a lot of people assume that you've done something. You did something dark, or this would not approach you. No.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There are many of us out here who are at warrior status, and we came here like that. Certainly Darian, Melissa, and Ivory can relate to this. I meet people and I know immediately we came here to kick rear on a lot of this stuff. And we have to. So
do, and lately, I think Terry Ann said it. Lately, I know I'm seeing a lot more people contacting my paranormal group wanting clearings of what ends up being demonic activity or really dark poltergeist type activity of things that are frightening children. It's been a huge upswing in requests for that over the last year. And so just one thing I want to put out there is when you have a lot of fear and a lot of anger, those are frequencies that let the dark in. A window for the dark to come in, whether it's within you, whether it's in our society, in our world, and our world is awash in that right now. So that's why more and more we have to really flip that to being brave and strong and focusing on the light and standing ground and protecting and setting boundaries.
I agree.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's over the years, and Keegan mentioned something a minute ago about how sometimes the light interaction with the seen people or unseen really gets on the nerves of the darker energies. So they automatically just really want to go after the light beings. And so just again, to say it again, over all the many years of dealing with such sometimes severe demonic or reptilian or gross, whatever words we're going to use for these, the darkest, most nasty, disgusting beings or entities or attachment type things that could happen to people. It's always the most amazing good light beings. They didn't do anything conjure things up. They didn't do anything on purpose. It's just breaks us down sometimes to deal with that heavy energy. And so it's like Ral said, to continue to never give consent to anything of like in your mind, in your energy fields of any way is the most helpful. And that Christed energy will take care of us. Absolutely.
And that I do not consent to me. That is one of the most incredibly powerful statements to make when you're dealing with this. I do not consent to your presence. I do not consent to your conduct. Get out.
And there you have it. A powerful tool. Tune in next week. Our subject is sacred geometry. And in the meantime, we hope you have a very enlightening week. Thank you for listening to the Sedona Soul Sisters Show. If you'd like more information about the Sedona Soul Sisters and their services, visit their website at SedonaSoulSisters.com. Subscribe to our show here so you don't miss a thing. All of us at Sedona Soul Sisters hope you have an enlightening week.